First Samuel chapter 21. While you're turning there, I'm going to read again out of the Gospel of Mark just to refresh our memory. And my wife said I made a mistake this morning and called a man's name, the wrong man's name, and I may have. Both their names are in, one of their names in the New Testament, and then the other names in the Old Testament of another man, and that's that man's son, and I'll explain that more in a minute. But that ain't quite as bad as what I did one time when I was younger. Brother J.D., this may encourage you. I was preaching at a brush arbor in Greer for Brother Hall Hollifield, and a big youth meeting, and I got up, and there was a bunch. I mean, that place was just filled with young people and preachers all over, and I got up, and I was so nervous. I got up and preached for about 30 minutes on how Moses built the ark. I said, Moses, he had that hammer, and Moses was going to town on that ark. And on, I mean, I bet I said, if I said it once, I said it 100 times, Moses built the ark. For the life of me, I couldn't figure out why people was laughing at me. I said, what have I said wrong? But anyway, he said, preacher, you joke too much. You know what? The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And there's enough out in this world to cry about and be sorrowful over. And so it does good to smile and laugh every now and then. And if you don't learn how to laugh at yourself, well, you know the rest of that. Mark chapter number 23, you stay in verse Samuel 21. I'm going to do my best not to re-preach what I did this morning. And And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. Now that's the account in the New Testament that we read this morning. But then going back to the Old Testament, where you should be in 1 Samuel chapter 21, I'm gonna try my best to fix what I messed up this morning. How many of you would agree? It's hard to pronounce a lot of them names in the Old Testament, and it's hard to pronounce them. But it's even harder when you're trying to read through your Bible. I mean, when I get to some portions of Scripture, like when you're reading the 23rd Psalm or the 22nd Psalm about Calvary and how Jesus died, or the resurrection or the miracles, boy, it's easy reading. It's just like short story form, and I mean, it's just moving and powerful and stirs your heart. But I'm going to tell you the truth. When you get some of them genealogies and he begat and he begat and he begat, sometimes I learn to speed read, and I just fast as I can go through them things. Blah, 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 and But my point is, I did not intentionally mislead you this morning, but I may have accidentally give the wrong man credit. But I talked this morning about the man by the name of Abiathar and how David went in, and Jesus even said that David fled to the house of Abiathar. But 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 20, just a page over, says, And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And so it was a son, and Jesus did not get it mixed up or messed up. It was the house of Abathar. But when, I don't want anybody to be confused. What we're going to be dealing with, and the name that you'll see over and over again, is not Abathar, but it's Ahimelech. And so verse 20, as we just read, deals with that. And then in verse 1 of chapter 21, the Bible said, "Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone, and no man with thee?" And the word Nob means a high place, the land of Nob. It's a place that's very high. The name Ahimelech means my brother is the king. And if you're saved, then, hey, listen, the Bible says we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, ain't you glad this evening you got, if you're saved, ain't you glad you got an elder brother who is a king, which makes you an heir and a joint heir to the king. And Ahimelech's name means the brother of a king. Hello? No, I'm just kidding. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry, Mama. I'm sorry. If I had known that was her, I would not have done that. She'll whoop me. As Brother Milton Taylor would say, coming back to Wubba, coming back to Wubba. I love the fact that Ahimelech was close to the king and was in a very high place in the land of Nob, that high place, the brother of a king, a high priest. I love the fact that David could go to that man in such a high and lofty place. Keep in mind, David's on the run at odds with the king, but he come to this man Ahimelech, and Ahimelech, though he was there in Nob, and though he was a priest and the son of the high priest and the brother of a king, his name means, he was approachable and accessible. Boy, ain't you glad the Lord, as lofty as he is, as high and holy as God is, does it ever amaze you that we have access and that we can approach the sovereign God of the universe? I mean, the God who spoke the worlds into existence, that all we have to do is come to him and say, Lord, Father. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we're to call him Abba, Father. You know what that means? Brother Alex, you know what Abba means? Well, good, you get to learn something tonight. Abba means, it's like melody, that those little children, when they just learning to say, Dada. That's literally what it means. It's a toddler or just learning how to pronunciate and say, Dada. He's approachable. God, the God of heaven, who is higher than any earthly king, who is more lofty and more prestigious than anyone, bids us come. He said, matter of fact, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And he bids us come. And David came and was able to come and seek refuge and seek restoration and sustenance from Ahimelech, who we just read about. And our king, as I said, he sits high upon his throne and is accessible, available, approachable, and able to any and to all who will call on him and come to him. And he's willing to feed, not just to hear us, but he's willing to feed us. It's amazing to me. The Bible says God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. It's amazing to me, but not just to save sinners and people in this world. They think preaching is foolish. I mean, they think that you're foolish for coming to sit and listen to somebody scream, holler, and spit and sweat all over you every week. Amen. Seriously. Yeah. It makes no sense to people. I mean, they think we've lost our marbles and It just absolutely don't, they don't understand it or comprehend it. But to us who are saved, to us whose eyes have been opened to the glorious gospel, ye which were sometimes alienated and our eyes darkened, we were blind in trespasses and sin. We could not see. But when you got saved, God flipped the light switch on, and everything that we couldn't see all of a sudden became so crystal clear. Everything that we didn't want, now we have a desire to want. That's why these things, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved, because there's evidences in our life. Things that I used to not have a desire for, like the Word of God. It used to be a chore for me to pick up the Word of God. I'd try it. I'd read it for a week or two, a month maybe, get up and make myself read the Bible and check that off the list. But it would wear off, and I'd get tired of it. Now, to read the Word of God is not a chore. It's not laborious. It's not something that I dread to do every day. It's something that I must have, like food to my belly, like air to breathe, the Word of God. And that's one indicator that you have passed from death unto life, is because you can come to the Lord and feed from Him. Amen. From His Word. Amen. You know another way you know you're saved? You know you've passed from death unto life because you have love for the brethren. Amen. Amen, that's right. I'm sorry, Miss Melody. I woke her up. Hey, listen. Is it hard for you to love people? I mean that. People that I don't even know, now that I'm saved. Now that I'm saved, I don't just hate people. I love people, even people who I may not like. And by the way, let me help you right here. We are to love everybody. I mean, that's commanded of us, to love everybody. And it is a bright indicator that you're saved when you do love everybody. But nowhere in that Bible does it command or say you must like everybody. Praise God, I got off the hook there, because there's some people that I've tried, but you know when you got saved, how immediately, I remember when I got saved, first thing I wanted to do was go tell people what happened to me. That's right. That's exactly right. And prayer. And fellowship, going to church. Going to church ain't a chore. I mean that. If you don't have a desire, and I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd, and please take this the right way. I'm not throwing eggs at them who ain't here tonight, but I mean this, not because I'm a preacher, but because I'm a Christian. I say this, and I'll stand before God in heaven one day and give an account. Listen to me. I can preach louder than she cries. It's all right. It's all right. Listen to me. If you have to make yourself, and I understand I have Sundays that I do have to make myself get up and get dressed and come, that my flesh don't want to get up and go, and my body don't want to go, and that's... But there's something deeper than my flesh. After God saved me, something that will overwhelm my flesh and override and overrule my flesh and say, get your lazy tail up out of that bed, comb your nappy head, take a shower, and get your clothes on and get to the house of God. Yeah. Amen. I can't explain that other than I've been born again and I'm drawn to where God is and to where God's people are. No longer do I have a desire to go to a bar. No longer do I have a pull to drag me to the disco and to the... I'm not drawn to them things. You know why? Because the magnet that's within me is drawn to what's godly and the things of God. And if you're saved, so are you. Amen. The Word of God, the people of God, the house of God. Amen. And God Himself. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. Well, that wasn't in the message, but that was absolutely free of charge. Look at verse 3. Chapter 21, verse 3. I'm preaching on the subject, I got more than I asked for. David got much more than he asked for. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread. If the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. David, as we said this morning, David asked for 5 loaves, but the priest gave him more than double that. I said and mentioned this morning how that in the tabernacle, the table of showbread, there was 6 here and 6 loaves here and 6 loaves here, and so 12 loaves was given to him, and so when he asked for bread, he got double. I'm not going to re-preach that or emphasize that anymore, but then David only asked for the 5, but that man was so close to royalty and close to the throne of the king, said, I'll tell you what, you want 5, I'll give you what I got. I don't have any normal bread. I don't have just the average bread, but I have something better. And how many times have you went to God and said, Lord, if you could just supply this for me, I have a need. And you said you would supply all my needs according to your riches. And Lord, I'm not asking for a whole lot. I'm not asking for some great miracle. I just need something to get me through today. I just need this bill paid. I just need this marital problem fixed. I just need this child reined in. Lord, you know where they're at, and I'm not asking you to fix it all. I just need this, Lord. I just need this solved. And if you'd just help me, just to have God, maybe not immediately, maybe not right at that moment, but in God's time, in God's way, way bigger than you ever dreamed, way bigger than I could ever ask, God would come and not just give you 5 loaves and that you ask and need it, but God will take handfuls of purpose and He'll give you twice as much and double the portion, even more than you ever asked or needed. Amen. Remember Job? Job didn't get them 10 youngins that he buried right back immediately. Job's health wasn't restored instantly. Job prayed and prayed, and Job couldn't figure out what in the world God was doing to him and why it hurt so bad and why it seemed like all of hell had turned on him, and he felt even God Himself had turned on him. But in all that, Job sinned not, and he blessed the Lord. And 42 chapters later, what's God say? Job 42:10, one of my life verses. And if you write in your Bible, you should underline Job 42:10. Because if you don't need it today, there will come a day that you will. And God turned the captivity of Job and give him what? Twice as much as he had before. Amen. Twice as much. All those questions he had for God, all those false accusations his so-called friends said, well, Job, if you didn't have sin in your life, this wouldn't be happening to you. And this was his friends. You ever had the bottom fall out of your life and your friends start telling you all the reasons why? Boy, them fair weather friends, if that's your friends, you don't need enemies. I'm just simply saying God supplied David's need and gave him more than he asked for. I'm glad I serve a God who specializes in giving more than we ask for. Quickly, let me hurry. Verse number 8, as I mentioned this morning, he didn't just give him the bread, that show bread, and give him more than he asked for. But in verse 8, David said unto Ahimelech and and is there not here under thine hand a spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And David said, I had to leave in such a hurry. I run out without my weapons. And could you spare a sword? It ain't got to be the best, but could you give me something in case they come? And look what verse 9 says. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it. For there is none other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it me. David said, I asked for a sword, just any old sword would do. But I had no idea you was going to give me more than I asked for. Not only do I have just more than the average sword to defend myself, I have a trophy of grace. I remember that day down in the valley when that giant, that 9-foot-plus giant, was screaming out and cussing my God and defying the armies of God. And I remember when God come upon me and give me the power and the tenacity to stand up and say, who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine? And I took and threw that one of those 5 smooth stones and sunk it in his head, and then went and took his own sword and chopped his head off. I remember that day, and then there that thing finds its way back into David's life. Hey, don't forget about the past victories God's wrought in your life. Don't bury them and put them in a shelf so far gone. Christmas, Mama told Jenny she wanted her to come see her. It's been a few weeks, and things got busy, and we went by there yesterday. And somewhere deep down in one of Mama's cabinets, she had tucked away this little bitty, I mean, about that tall, about that wide, little yellow dress. Looked like a baby doll's dress. And I walked in and heard the conversation. And it was a dress that Jenny wore as a little bitty baby 78 years ago. No. But she thought enough to tuck that away and file it away and store it, because she knew one day it may, and it did, bring a huge blessing. And the blessings of God and the victories you've won, life can get so hard. And so difficult and so hard to face, just, I mean, wearisome. That some days it's good when you ask God and say, Lord, how am I going to get through this day? Lord, it seems like my family's falling apart. My finances are in a mess. I don't know if my job's going to be there tomorrow. My enemies are after me, the ones that I've actually served. David, keep in mind, David had served Saul. David had been good to Saul and honored him. Could have took his life, but chose not to out of honor to him. And now Saul's trying to kill him. And God said, you asked for something, but I'm going to bring something back from your past just to show you how good of a God that I was to you, and remind you that I'm the same God today. Even while they're trying to chase and kill you, I saved you then. I made you a conqueror and a victor then, and I will again. And your better days are ahead of you. And he got more than he asked for. Now, like, as fast as you... I've been preaching 24 minutes. I even put a stopwatch up here, like I do these young preachers. Listen, no, I got more than 8 minutes. I've been preaching 8 times longer than you. I get more than 8 minutes. Three quick thoughts, I promise. That was introduction. 3 quick thoughts, and we'll go home. And some of it I jumped ahead this morning and dealt with. But I'm talking about getting more from God than you asked for. You don't have to say amen if you don't want to, but how many of you have ever asked God for something, and you'd have to honestly say and testify to the fact God give you more than you asked for? Amen. I mean, hey, I don't care what you're going through this evening. God's been good to us. I mean, you still breathing. Right now, there's people sitting in a hospital room. There's people in a jail cell. There's people fighting for their very life. There's people's parents. It's so good to see Miss Anita here tonight. Her mom had a terrible stroke, and she's up there at North Grove and having a terrible time. And I'm so glad you're here, Miss Anita, and we're praying for you. And I thought to myself, boy, it hurts my heart that it's your mama. And I've been praying for you and for your mama. And I can only imagine if that was my mama. But here I am tonight. My mama's in the service. Some of your parents are in the service. Some of your children are here tonight with you. I'm saying God's been good to you. Your lungs are still pumping. Your heart's still beating. And yes, you got trouble. And yes, you got pains. And we all got issues, the issues of life. But hey, under heaven, God's been good to us. I mean, just think about some of the things you've asked God for. Now look where you are. I mean, just think about some of the worst days of your life. You never dreamed. You never dreamed your marriage was going to make it. You thought this is the end, and I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. My marriage has been to a place so low and so dark. I said that we'll never make it through this. I'm at a place that, and listen, it wasn't her fault. It was mine. But I said we'll never make it through this. And I prayed and I said, "Oh God, if you'll just." Judge me, Lord, and do what you got to do to me. But, Lord, please save my marriage. Don't take it out on her what I've done, Lord. And now look at us now. By the grace of God, Brother Ned, He gave me more than I asked for. I remember praying and saying, "Oh, God." I remember being in the hospital room and them telling us, "Your baby don't have a heartbeat." And then that happened again. Seeing the tears roll down my wife's face. And then the third time it happened again. And they said, you can't have children. And I remember the empty feeling that come through us and all the pain and bitterness and heartache. And we said, "Lord, I prayed this. I remember. I said, Lord, I don't care if they deformed. Lord, I don't care if they can't walk. But Lord, please just give us a child. Amen. That their heart will beat long enough for us to see them live." Yeah. And look, I got way more than I asked for.
Amen.
I'm just saying God's been so good to you. If you'll just look back at how good God's been to you. And how much more He's give you. Yeah. Steve, you asked for God to give you more time with your daddy. He give you so much more. And we don't think about things while we're living in the moment. We don't think about how good God's been. But I'm telling you, just step back for a moment at your life and look what you got and look where you are by the grace of God. Amen. And most of them things I just mentioned is like family and health and finances and jobs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to say, listen, let me give you these couple of verses. Talking about a God who said in Luke 11:13, "If ye, then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask of Him?" Luke 12:24, "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is in the day of the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you?" Hebrews, I love this. Hebrews 9:13. "For if the blood of bulls and goats and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" I'm saying, boy, we got more than we asked for. over and over and over. He said, how much more? How much more? More than the lilies, more than the ravens, more than the grass, more than the blood of goats and bullocks. Much more. I got much more than I asked for when I got saved. That's number one. Oh, dear friend, I could preach for a month on this point. Go ahead. Exhale. I'm not going to. But I'm telling you, it's absolutely amazing when you get down. And I've been meditating on this and praying and studying this message, Brother J.D. You know how when your mind just, when you're musing and meditating on a portion of the Word of God and about preaching it, and your mind just, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And y'all think, my goodness, he preaches so long. If you only get a tenth of it, I'm being sincere. When you're studying, God's feeding you and feeding you. Boy, that's why you ought to get in your Bible and read it. Because, listen, it ain't just for preachers. Amen. If you'll open that book, God will speak to you. Amen. And I got much more. And I got to thinking about when God saved me, all that He gave me instantaneously. Yeah. It's amazing. Boy, it's so good to be saved. And I dealt with this morning. I can't take all my time here, but I thought about that old thief on the cross. Give me just a few minutes and we'll be done, I promise. But I thought about that old thief on the cross. I'm talking about getting more than you asked for when it comes to salvation. Now you think about it. The thief on the cross, I got to shed this. It's warm in here. Some of y'all say, well, it's cold. Well, I'm working. You ain't. Shh. I'm just kidding. Bible says man shall work by the sweat of his brow. Listen, if anybody deserved to die and go to hell and had nothing to offer God, it was a thief on the cross. I mean, his life had been lived. He was done. He committed the sin. He committed the crime. He had done the time, and now he was about to pay with his life and be crucified. Two malefactors, one on each side, Jesus in the middle, you know the story. And I got to thinking about how one of them, as he railed against Jesus, and he spouted off at Jesus and him dying. But that other thief, he didn't rail on Jesus. He turned to that other one and said, man, what you talking about? Why would you say such? And he asked Jesus a question. And listen to what he said. And listen, he said in Luke 23, verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man doth nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's it. The deal was sealed. It wasn't a long, elaborate prayer. He didn't have to confess every sin he had ever committed. Brother Ned, it was as simple as saying, Lord, when you enter your kingdom, remember me. Hey, listen, don't get all in a tizzy worrying about, did I pray right? Sister Connie, we've had many conversations, deep, deep, long conversations, many times about, well, what if I didn't say it right? What if I didn't do this right? Hey, listen, that thief on the cross had nothing to offer. He didn't have enough time to put together a good oration and a good a conversation. He just simply said, like Peter when he was thinking, Lord, save me. And immediately. And Jesus responded, today thou shalt be with me in Paris. He wasn't asking. Hey, listen. Keep in mind, this man, this thief, he knew that there was a coming kingdom. He was a Jew. They were under Roman rule. the Romans had invaded and the Romans were ruling with an iron fist, and he knew, he had been brought up to believe and to know that the God of Israel was going to come back one day, and every Jew, they had that understanding and that hope that one day that the God of Israel, who had done so many wonders and miracles in the past, the same God who split the Red Sea, the same God who delivered the Israelites from Pharaoh out of Egypt, that same God would one day come and overthrow the Roman government and would set Israel free. And he knew there was a coming kingdom. But he didn't think it'd be anytime soon. Yeah. And he's dying. And so he said, remember me. When your kingdom does come, amen, remember me. Amen. He had no idea. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Listen. I'm talking about he got more than he asked for in salvation. All he asked for was that Jesus remember him in his coming kingdom. He didn't ask to rule beside Jesus in his kingdom. He didn't ask to have a crown or a throne to sit beside Jesus in his kingdom. He didn't ask for a robe. He said, I know you're a king because the inscription on the cross says so. And I believe it. I believe in you. And so whenever you come into your kingdom, please remember me. That's all he asked for. But he got more than he asked for. Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The old thief was a Jew, and he knew, as I mentioned. And today, he said, Jesus dies, and then just a short minutes to an hour or two later, that old thief dies and takes his last gasping breath, and then there he shows up in paradise. And when he gets to paradise, he looks around, and he's amazed. He's not gathered around all of his old buddies that he committed crime with. Them old cheating, lying, stealing, doping drunkards. Them old whoremongers and carousers. That ain't the people he was around. He looked around and there was Adam. And there was Eve. And there was Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Noah. And there was all the prophets. And he looked around and they looked at him and they said, who are you? And he said, I don't know. How'd you get here? He said, all I know is I was hanging on a cross. And I simply said, Lord, would you remember me? And the next thing I know, just a little bit later, here I am. And there he is. And I'm here because he's here. And he told me I could be here. He got much more than he asked for. Oh, he knew he didn't deserve it. And it'd do us good to understand we don't either. Not a bit of it. Not a bit of it. And when we ask him to save us, oh, my friend, we got so much more than we asked for. I remember the day, September 21st, 1991. Vividly, I remember it when he saved me. He saved me. I want to share this with you quickly, and I wrote it down. I don't want to mess it up, but I said, he came to me. I didn't ask for a mansion. I didn't ask for gates of pearl, walls of jasper, or streets of gold. I didn't ask for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit or crowns or to be an heir or a joint heir. I didn't know to. I didn't even ask to be seated together in heavenly places. Didn't know nothing about that in the Bible. All I said was, Lord, I'm a sinner. I didn't even ask to be justified, Brother Cameron. I didn't ask to be sanctified. I didn't ask to be glorified. I just said, Lord, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. If you'll take me just like I am, Lord, save me. Here I am, a sinner. And that's all I asked for. And he gave me much more. And now I will one day walk on streets of gold. I will one day walk by the gates of pearl and the walls of jasper. I will one day live in a mansion that I didn't ask for. I will have crowns to throw at his feet. I will. Hey, listen, I am justified. I am called. I am sanctified. And I'm going to be glorified. And I got much more than I asked for. Did I ask for all that when I asked him to save me? No, didn't know to, but oh, he give it. Every last bit of it. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. What about that woman, Matthew chapter 15, verse 22? And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord. Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. You know what he's saying? He said, I came first and foremost for the Jews, the apple of my eye. And it ain't meat. It ain't right for me to cast the food off the table to the dogs. The Gentile. She's a Gentile. It ain't right, Jesus is saying, for me to cast the food to you Gentile dogs. And I want you to listen to her response. Listen. I mean, most people, God bless your heart, most Baptists, I'll just say that because I are one. I told Cricket the other day, I was Baptist born, Baptist bred, and one day I'll be Baptist dead till the day I die. There's a lot of these hoodlums taking Baptists off their church names. Hey, you can have that, friend. I don't agree with everything every Baptist in the world is doing, but I promise you this, I'm a Baptist because they're the closest to the Word of God that there is. Amen. Period. And I do not apologize for that. Amen. If you ever hear Brother Rochester took Baptist off the church name sign, put me in the nut house because you know I've lost my mind. Because I'll never in my right mind disassociate myself from being a Baptist. Amen. 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 Listen to what she said. Most Baptists, when Jesus spoke to them or a preacher or somebody was to speak to a person that way and say, you're just a dog. You're not worthy of the food on this table. Well, they'd say, you're not getting my membership. You're not getting my tithe. We'll go down the street. We'll go to the church up the road. You don't deserve me. I want you to listen. I want you to listen to how this lady, she had a need. She was crying, Lord, help me. She didn't care. Her feelings wasn't going to get hurt because she had a greater need than her feelings. She said, Jesus said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know what happened? She asked for crumbs, but she got way more than she asked for. She asked for just the crumbs that fall to the dogs. But the God of heaven, said, Jesus said, be it unto thee because of your faith. I'm not just going to give you the crumbs. I'm not just going to give you a little bread from the table. I'm going to give you the whole bakery and I'm going to heal your daughter and raise her. And he did. And she got more than she asked for. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to take time. I had this illustration down, but you've all heard the, matter of fact, the Christmas play has been done about John 3:16, that little boy in Chicago, that police officer, and that little cold boy with no clothes, and you know the story, and he didn't have nowhere to go, no food to eat, and asked that police officer, saw him and said, son, and he looked for a place, said, just go, and took him to a house and said, if whatever they say to you, you just say John 3:16, and you know the story. And whatever he asked for, and whatever they ask him, you need somewhere to sleep, you need food to eat, you need clothes on your back, and he'd just say, all I know is John 3:16, John 3:16, that guy. And listen to me. I want to go on the record this evening and simply say, I've got all this that I've asked for and so much more. Because, and I'm talking about salvation. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I asked him to save me, but I had no idea how much more he'd give me. Not only I've got more than I asked for when I got saved, but I got more than I asked for when I started serving God. I'll be done in 5 minutes. Ain't that the cliche around here? Brother Raymond? 46 minutes. I got more than I asked for when I started serving the Lord. I wrote this down because it was funny. And I figured by 46 minutes in, y'all would need a laugh. Something to wake you up. I heard a man say, it reminded me of two drunks. They were staying out under a bridge. They were homeless, out on a cold night beside a river. And one said, hey, Ralph, come over here and look at this. You got to see it. And the other drunk said, I'm tired of fussing with you. I ain't coming over here. Just leave me alone. Ralph said, no, I mean it, man. You got to come look at this. And Jim walked over, and asked, what's the fuss all about? And he looked and pointed and said, what in the world is that big shining ball in the river? And he responded, that's the moon, you big dummy. To which he responded, my goodness, how did we get way up there? I know that's goofy, but my point is, when it comes to serving God, I remember God calling me. Browns Chapel Baptist Church, I remember going to an altar and saying, Lord, if you could use somebody like me who's flunked on purpose public speaking engagements and in school, I'd take a zero. I wouldn't get it. I said, but Lord, if you can use me, I'll do whatever. No matter how little, Brother Cliff, no matter how big, whatever you want me to do. And I asked him, Lord, anoint me. And Lord, use me. And I said, yes. And I began serving him. And fellas, listen, it didn't start out pastoring no church. That's 1990. That's been over 30 years ago. It started out in my school, getting Bible clubs together and getting friends of mine that I knew was saved. Your brother Andy was one of them. We'd get together at lunch and we'd go in the cafeteria and we'd go over in the corner and we'd pray. And we'd carry our Bibles and we'd read our Bibles. Just little. And then it didn't lead to a pulpit from there. It went to a nursing home. Me and Brian Sullivan, every week, every Sunday morning, we'd go down there. And me and Brian, we'd do our dead level best and probably butchered preaching, but we would try our best. Them old people who had no idea, we was even there half the time. And when they did, they'd be cussing us or discussing us and talking. And then some were getting a blessing out of it. And we would go, and we would go. And I just said, Lord, use me. Amen. Preacher McAfee told me one time, I said, He said, boy, if you want to be used of God, he said, get usable. And God will wear you out using you. I had no idea. And I still don't know how I'm up here. As that old drunk said, how did we get way up here? I still don't know. When I preached my first message, I thought, how in the world did I get up here? When I took my first church, I thought, under heaven, how did I get here? Lord, are you serious? You want me to do this? I can't do that. But I just kept saying yes. And when he'd open a door, I'd walk through it. And I'd say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And I'd say, Lord, I want to do you. I want to preach, Lord. I want to see people saved. Lord, if you'd just save somebody while I'm preaching, I want to see that. I want to be preaching and somebody say yes to you. And now I look back and I ask for that little request. And I look back and there's no telling how many hundreds of people I've got to personally bow down, open the Word of God and pray with and grab God by one hand and them by the other and introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I just kept saying, yes, Lord. right now, listen to me. I got way more than I asked for. When God called me here to stand in the place, in the pulpit, behind a giant of a man of God, I said, Lord, how did I get here? Ain't no way I can do that. And I'm simply saying, I ask Him to use me.
Amen.
That simple. Brother Alex,
amen.
If you ask Him and you mean it and you follow Him and you say yes every time He opens the door and you serve every time He lets you,
amen,
you will end up in Iceland.
Amen.
And you will see people saved by the grace of God. And you ain't got to be a preacher or a missionary. I thank God for my Sunday school teachers. I can name everyone from Ola May to Paul Freeman, Donald Phillips. People who invested, people who didn't even think they were serving, was making so big of investments into my little old life because they was willing to take a little time and serve when nobody's looking. Just being a Christian. I'm going to say this, an embarrasser, but two of the greatest servants that I've ever known or met are in this room. My mama serve the Lord, and because of that, there's no way I'd be where I'm at today in any aspect had she not been willing to serve.
Amen.
And ask God on my behalf, Lord, would you use him? Lord, would you save him? Lord, would you rescue him?
Amen.
I come in late, bugged out of my mind on dope, sneaking in the house thinking she didn't have a clue, and I'd creep in. And I'd hear her crying, calling out to God, Lord, would you reach him?
Amen.
His heart's so hard, nothing I say won't get to him. But those tears would puddle up, and she would serve in prayer.
Amen.
And God heard. And God helped, and God healed, and rescued me, and brought me back from the cliff of the abyss. And that little woman behind her, my wife, one of the greatest servants I know. Nobody's looking behind the scenes. Don't want notoriety, don't want fame, don't want attention. But she'll be up here scrubbing toilets, vacuuming, doing whatever in the world she can do till her bones ache. And I mean that. And she'll kill me for saying it. She was so tired and wore out last night from just non-stop serving for weeks and weeks and weeks, serving her children, doing whatever it takes. And you other mamas know what I'm talking about. Whatever it takes to make sure your children have what they need, make sure Christmas happens, to make sure they got a house to live in, make sure they got clothes, to make sure they know Jesus, to make sure they get to church. Mama, it matters. We went to bed last night and I was sound asleep. And I woke up this morning. I said, I thought you had to take a shower. I always let her take a shower first. And I said, I thought you had to take a shower. And she said, no, I had to get up last night after you went to bed and take a bath. My body's hurting so bad and just so wore out. She'll kill me for saying that. But I'm just saying, she serves.
Amen.
Hey, you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. Be a mama. Be a daddy.
Yeah. Amen.
Serve as a papa.
Amen.
As a grandma, mama, nana. Be a church member.
Amen. Amen.
Ask him to let you do something. I'm going to say this one and be done. I won't even preach the last one. Everybody look up. I won't even preach the last one. About service, and ask, please hear this. Ask God to let you do something. I put out a plea tonight about people singing. I know people talk and chirp and gripe and complain. Say, well, he just lets his wife and girl sing all the time. You know why? Because nobody comes to me and says, hey, I got a song. Stephanie every now and then will call or text and say, hey, I got a song. I text and call Noah and other. But my default has been ever since I've been a pastor, because I used to didn't have anybody but them to sing. I wasn't going to do it. And so it was just as automatic as me taking up the offering and saying, open your Bible and me preaching. Right before that, they just know to go to the piano and sing. And so I put out the call. And I'm saying to you, hey, ask God, Lord, let me do something. And when you ask him that, be ready. Because he's going to let you do and give you more to do than you ever dreamed. You say, well, there just ain't nothing for me to do. Same old people do the same old stuff. And that's true. About 10% of the people in every church does about 90% of the work.
Right.
Sad statistic, but I that is not me guessing. That is me knowing.
Amen.
Ask God, Lord, let me do something. Hey, we got people who come in here on walkers and wheelchairs. When's the last time you went out and said, hey, let me go park your car for you so you can pull up right here to the door. I'll go park your car and go pick it up for you when service is over. I know it's cold.
Amen.
You young people listening?
Amen.
Hey, missionary servant.
Amen.
I ain't joking. Brother J.D. Brother J.D. stays late. Brother Stephen back there sick and coming there standing tonight. Stay away from everybody. I appreciate that, and they do too. Hey, they'll stay late so I can go to the house and cut the lights out and let everybody. I'm just saying, ask God to let you do something. Park a car, push a broom. I looked at this stage up here tonight, and we've had a lot of traffic. Miss Sandy does a tremendous job of cleaning, but they's toilets to clean, they's stuff to do.
Amen.
Promise. You got a phone? I do somewhere. Oh, it's up here telling me how long I've been preaching. Oh, my goodness. I better stop that thing. Yeah, that's depressing. I'm stopping it. Pick up your phone. Get you a church directory. Send a text message. There's people in our church who text me several times a week. Say, preacher, I'm for you. I'm praying for you. I love you. You help me. You preach and help me. You know what? This morning I got done preaching before I left the pulpit. I left without shaking anybody's hand or anything. I hit that door. I was so defeated. I said, I made such a mess of preaching this morning. Stephen texted me later on today and said, Lord, help me through that message this morning. And I said, I laid the biggest goose egg this morning. That was terrible. And I'm telling you, the devil does that.
Yeah.
He attacks and makes you feel like you're not making any progress. You might as well quit serving God because you're just terrible at it and ain't no use in even trying. And I'm telling you, he's a lie and the father of it. And even if I do lay a goose egg, even if I do fail, hey, I failed for the Lord. Even if I made a mess of it, I made a mess for the Lord. And he takes the base things and he takes them and gets glory out of them. Amen, that's right.
Amen,
that's right. And so I'm saying, hey, call somebody, text somebody. Text, when's the last time some of you, and by the way, deacons, 1, 2 that's here, I'm going to preach a message on this soon. I preached it right after I came here. But do you know, deacons' jobs and responsibilities, Roy and Brother Jimmy, that ain't some prominent power position that runs a church. Deacon means a servant. That's what it is, to serve. You know what it wasn't about? A table waiter.
Yeah.
That's what it is. But it shouldn't just be up to the deacons, and these men do that, to call our shut-ins and check on them. And they do that, and I'm thankful. But they are your brothers and sisters. When's the last time you called one of our shut-ins that used to be faithful to this church and said, I'm going to serve them? They served in this church for no telling how many years. I'm going to call them. I'm going to text them, and I'm going to encourage them. We got several. You say, well, I don't know who they are. Call me, and I'll give you their name and number and address if you want to send them a card. I'll even buy the card for you just so it ain't coming from me again. And I mean that. I really mean that. There's places, there's people, and there's things, and there's areas that you can serve if you'll just ask God, and He'll amaze you. How much more He'll let you do if you'll just ask Him. Amen. And it will absolutely transform our church. What if instead of 10% of the people did 90% of the work, what if 90% of the people started serving? Well, probably one thing, you'd have to find a new preacher, because I'd have a heart attack. Elizabeth, it's a big one. Yeah, that's right, Brother Cliff. These kids are like, who's Elizabeth? Y'all don't know what y'all missing. I got much more than I asked for when God saved me. I got much more than I asked for when He let me serve. And I got way more than I asked for when I started coming to the sanctuary of God. Can't tell you all that God's let give me and added to my life from the house of God. I couldn't imagine life without church. I mean that. Let's stand together. Thank you for your patience tonight. I know it was long.